Thanks, Marcus, for reading for us, and welcome to church, everyone. I will be speaking from that passage today. As far as what I think makes a person greedy, we had in kind of our little conversation, if people are always talking about money and investments and that kind of thing, that's all they talk about, then that is a little bit of a sign. Carol also mentioned that you can tell someone is greedy by their behavior at the buffet as well. And so what they're doing there is a good sign too. I think it was very, very insightful. Today we're going to see whether the greedy have a place in God's family. And this might be a fairly open and shut case, I think, for some of us, but we're going to see what God has to say from his word. And so we're going to get into that. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we do that. So please join with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. And we thank you that the Bible does give your mind and heart on all these issues that we struggle with in our world. And Lord, we pray that the life and example of Zacchaeus may be a help to us in our world and in the various systems that we find ourselves in. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The sense that I get from most of the people that I talk to is that we wish that we could be kinder. We wish that we could be more generous. We wish that we could do the things that we know we should do, things like give to charity or volunteer more or care for the underprivileged or spend more time with our families. We wish we could do these things, but we feel like we can't. Because of the system that we are in, we feel trapped in the system. We don't want to be busy. We don't want to be stressed. We don't want to be competitive. We don't want to be ruthless. We know that those kinds of things are not healthy for us, but we have no choice in the matter, really, because that's the game that we are in. We feel like we have to do these things to succeed or sometimes even to survive. Greed is the air that we breathe in our world. People often talk about why capitalist countries seem to do so well and communist countries don't. Well, I think the reason is because capitalism has more correctly understood human nature. Capitalism assumes that people will naturally act in their own self-interest, that we are naturally selfish creatures. And this agrees pretty much with what the Bible says about us too. But it's no surprise that if we're in that kind of system, that we find ourselves as both the products of that system and the producers of it. We are both victims and perpetrators of the culture that we are in. But it's also no surprise that we're not entirely happy with that, because that is not what we were meant for. Max Weber, who's a sociologist who wrote a book called The Protestant Work Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism, in his conclusion, he writes, in Baxter's view — Baxter was a theologian — the care for external goods should only lie on the shoulders of the saint like a light cloak, which can be thrown aside at any moment. But fate decreed that the cloak should become an iron cage. Now, what he's saying here is that capitalism was meant to promise freedom. In this kind of system, wealth would no longer be hoarded just by the upper class. The ordinary person would be able to work and to save and to succeed. Everyone's wealth would be proportional to their work. That kind of freedom was the aim of our system. But if freedom was the aim, then our system has spectacularly failed. Because I don't think we feel free. I think we feel enslaved. We're enslaved by property prices. We're enslaved by costs of living. We're enslaved by the restrictions of our employers. We're enslaved by the need to have certain things and to look a certain way to be accepted. We're enslaved by the need to compete against our fellow workers, against our fellow uni students. We kind of have to guard ourselves against them sometimes. You see, all of us, to a greater or lesser extent, are in that iron cage. But what we're going to see today is a true story of a man who was in that system, but who had an encounter with Jesus. And he found a different way to live. He found a different system, a better system, because he met Jesus. And this is a way that you can live as well. And so our passage takes place in ancient Israel. This is in 30-something AD. Jesus was going through the cities and towns of Israel. He was teaching amazing things and performing amazing miracles. He was showing that he is God come in the flesh. And here he meets a man named Zacchaeus, who is very much part of the system. And we see that in verses 1 to 4. He entered Jericho, that's Jesus, and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Now, ordinarily in our society, if we hear the words, he was a chief tax collector and was rich, we'd probably think, here is a guy who has done really well for himself. Right? He's a guy who works in corporate, he works in tax. He is a chief tax collector. He's got employees. He is rich. Good on you. You've worked hard. You've got a good job. You know, this is Jim Chalmers here. This is our treasurer, right? But this is not what the people of the time would be thinking if they heard the words, he was a chief tax collector and was rich. In those days, the word tax collector implied greed. It implied corruption. It meant that you were a traitor to your people. You were scum if you were a tax collector. The steps that a tax collector goes through, what their job basically was that, well, Israel was under Roman occupation at the time. Israel did not like this. Like, no one likes being occupied. They had to pay taxes to the Romans. And so this is what tax collectors did. This was their job. Step one, take a contract from the Romans to collect a certain amount of taxes from the Jews. Step two, collect those taxes from my own countrymen and even more. And then step three, profit. And there were massive profits to becoming a tax collector. Now, you can see how an ordinary Jew would not like these guys. You know, not only did they serve the enemy, but they exploited their own people for profit. We've all had that friend who tried to recruit us into their pyramid scheme. You know, maybe they've tried to hard sell you a Thermomix or something like that. You know, this is much, much worse than that. Right? This is a betrayal of a national identity. People used to use the word, it's un-Australian, right? This is the kind of thing that they're talking about. This is not Israeli. This is not Jewish. This was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the perpetrator and product of a greedy, antisocial system. But we also see that Zacchaeus was not entirely happy with his place in the system as well. There was a bit of a disquiet in him. He knew that there was something missing from his life. He knew there's something wrong with his life. And we can see this because of how desperate he was to see Jesus. Right? Zacchaeus at this point, he doesn't even know who Jesus is yet. And you can see that because it says in verse 3, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. All he knows is that he needs something. And maybe Jesus can provide it. And that's what drives him, this grown man, to climb a tree to see Jesus. When was the last time you climbed a tree? For me, it was about 5 years ago. It's kind of probably a bit closer, a bit nearer than most people might think. It was at Centennial Park with my kids. I'm not sure how entirely legal it was, but I did it because my kids were doing it, and I thought that I would try and teach them how to do it too. Climbing a tree, it's not usually part of my daily routine, right? You know, you only do it if you really, really want to do something, if you are desperate for something, and that was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was desperate for something more. And so Zacchaeus is a little bit like us then, I think. He's a man who is stuck in the system, but who knows there is more and who wants more. And that's what the theologian Augustine exactly said about us. You know, he's writing to God in his Confessions, and he says, "Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee." Zacchaeus was restless. But when he found Jesus, he found something. He had an encounter with Jesus that changed him. And we see this in verses 5 to 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today, is not a particularly profound philosophical or theological statement to make on the surface. But let's dig a bit deeper and see what we find. I want you to notice first, when Jesus says these words, that Jesus knows Zacchaeus by name. Right? These two hadn't met in person before. It's not like Zacchaeus was wearing a name tag, even one of these fashionable name stickers like we all have here, right? Jesus knows Zacchaeus already, and that says something about who Jesus is. Can you imagine if there's like a parade for Jesus, and Jesus is walking through the streets of Sydney, and you are watching him, and he stops and sees you and calls you by your name? Now, Jesus knows us. He gets us. And I think a lot of our restlessness, a lot of our disquiet, a lot of our frustrations in life come because we don't really know ourselves. But Jesus does. Jesus is God, and he knows us from top to toe. And here Jesus is giving us just a little bit of a hint of his power and wisdom. The second thing to notice from what Jesus says is that Jesus welcomed this hated man. In the crowd watching Jesus, I think there were many, many more worthy people that Jesus could have spent his time with. There were a lot more people without the history, without the shame, without the stigma that Zacchaeus had. You know, they weren't as problematic as Zacchaeus. But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus doesn't choose people who are good. He chooses people who are lost. Jesus said elsewhere, it is not the healthy who need a physician, but the sick. Jesus doesn't want people who have it all sorted. He doesn't want people who have it all together. He wants people who are restless. He wants people who are disquiet, because those are the people whom he can help. Jesus does not help people who think they are fine. Jesus welcomes the Zacchaeuses of the world. And thirdly, I want you to notice that Jesus welcomes Zacchaeus even before he has done anything good. At this point in the story, Zacchaeus is still a greedy, traitorous, exploitative part of the system. Zacchaeus hasn't even begun to make amends yet. Zacchaeus does not deserve Jesus. But that's how Jesus works. Jesus moves first, because that's what love does. Love moves first. Love is by nature unearned and undeserved. I mean, often in our relationships with people, we try and get people to change by holding back our love, holding hostage our love. If you do this for me, then I will love you. Jesus is the opposite. Jesus knows the only way people will change is if he doesn't hold back his love. And that's what he does to Zacchaeus. He welcomes him even before he has done anything good. And we see from the story that this is the right call. This encounter with Jesus changes Zacchaeus. Jesus goes in to Zacchaeus' house. And it's a bit sad that we don't know what Jesus and Zacchaeus were talking about when Zacchaeus went into that house. It'd be great to be a fly on the wall of that conversation. But maybe we don't need to know. You know, Jesus has already sent the message to Zacchaeus. I know you. I welcome you. I love you. Your past doesn't matter. What you're doing now doesn't matter. You have a place in God's family. Jesus has said all these things without kind of having to say them. And we know what Zacchaeus does later in the passage as well. And so Jesus probably told him a little bit on how he should respond to this love that Jesus has shown him. And so it is Jesus, the man, who has made the decisive difference in Zacchaeus' life. And these things that Jesus says to Zacchaeus, he also says to us. Jesus knows us too. He loves us despite our past and despite our present, just like with Zacchaeus. And just like with Zacchaeus, Jesus is inviting himself over into our lives. He wants to make his home in us by his Holy Spirit. He wants us to have this life-changing encounter with Jesus too. And we see that it actually is a life-changing encounter. We see this change almost instantly in Zacchaeus' life because Zacchaeus starts operating according to a different system. Verses 7 to 10, it says, "And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost.'" The ordinary folk of Jericho, the people kind of watching this whole episode play out, they don't get the idea that Jesus would welcome Zacchaeus. To them, the greedy do not have a place in God's family. Jesus is too good for that kind of crowd. Jesus should not be wasting his time with Zacchaeus. But Jesus knows better. And Zacchaeus shows it by the change that his encounter with Jesus has made in his life. You know, Zacchaeus actually did not have to do this much that he was speaking about here. In the Bible, if you had extorted someone, the law said that you were only meant to pay about 20% back of what you extorted. Zacchaeus gives 400% back. Zacchaeus gave half of his wealth to the poor. That is way over the 10% that the Jews had to give. But again, that's what love does. Love gives not just the minimum. Love gives more, and love gives from the heart. Christianity is often stereotyped as all you have to do is believe that God loves you. You know, just believe in Jesus and you are saved, right? Then you'll be okay. That's actually only really half the story. The full story is that we do believe that God loves us through Jesus, but that Christians are changed by the love of God so that they might love like God. And this is what we see in Zacchaeus. And just in case the crowd did not get the message, Jesus tells them straight. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." Jesus is saying to this guy, this man has a place in God's family. Zacchaeus is my kind of guy. Jesus says that Zacchaeus is his kind of guy because the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That is Jesus' word for people who are stuck in the system, people who are looking for more, people who are restless and disquiet. They are lost. And these are the people who Jesus wants to meet with and welcome and to bring into his family as well. Like the hymn Amazing Grace, "I once was lost, but now am found," written by an ex-slave trader, a very Zacchaeus-like man. Can you see how Zacchaeus is now operating according to a different system? There's been a change in the way that he conducts his life. He's no longer taking advantage of people. He's serving them. He's no longer living life to gain for himself. He's living to give to others. He no longer thinks to himself, "I need more." He thinks, "I can do with less." And he has taken the first steps in trying to live that out in his life. You know, his life now works to a completely different set of rules and protocols. You know, he's changed his operating system. He's uninstalled Windows and he's running on Linux now or something like that. The historian Sebastian Junger wrote a book called Tribe on Homecoming and Belonging. And he wrote about this phenomenon that you won't often find in American history books, but he wrote how in early America, some of the European settlers who first settled in America, they defected to live amongst the Native Americans. These were Englishmen, English women, born and bred, but they became friends with and they lived with and they married into Native American tribes. And Junger writes that it was the community and relationship that the tribes had that attracted them. And they found it so attractive that the material benefits of Western civilization couldn't compete. The European settlements, they sent delegations to try and get the defectors back, but they failed. No one wanted to return because they had found a place. They'd found a different system. They had found a better system. And that was Zacchaeus when he had his encounter with Jesus. And this is all Christians as well. Christians are ordinary people, people from the system who have encountered Jesus and who, because of that encounter with Jesus, are living according to that different system because Jesus has shown them the way. And so God is saying to us all today, will you meet Jesus? Now, Jesus knows you. Jesus wants to welcome you. He wants you to meet him. And even though it's been 2,000 years since Jesus, you can still meet him. You can still get to know him by reading about him in the Bible, by hearing about what he has done in his people. You know, that is why we gather together as a church regularly. It's because we want to hear and learn from Jesus, to meet with him and hear from him. And so will you be like Zacchaeus? Will you hurry and receive Jesus joyfully? Or will you be like the crowds who think that they know Jesus even when they don't? Jesus' invitation to people is to meet him, learn from him, and to find your way to a better system, a better way of life. And so do the greedy have a place in God's family? Well, Jesus' answer is absolutely yes. You know, we've seen that there is a story of a man who is stuck in the system, who had an encounter with Jesus, and is now living according to a different system. And I think that is a great hope and reassurance to all of us who feel stuck in the system too. I'm not sure what Zacchaeus was expecting when he climbed up that tree to see Jesus. But I think we can all agree that he got more than what he expected. He got an invitation to a meal, an invitation to a personal conversation and relationship with Jesus. He got acceptance from Jesus and God. He was lost and then he was found. Zacchaeus got much more than he bargained for. And if you come to Jesus, I can guarantee you that you will get much more than you expect as well. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. He is waiting for you to let him in. Can I encourage you to be like Zacchaeus and give him a good hearing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that example of that life-changing encounter with Jesus that Zacchaeus had. And thank you that gives hope to all of us who feel stuck in the system, who wish that we could do better but feel trapped. Lord, we pray that we may be people who meet with Jesus, who recognize that he is standing at the door and knocking, that he is inviting himself into our lives. And Lord, we pray that we may receive him joyfully, that we may read about him, that we may learn from him, and that we may be alert to what he is doing in this world now. And Lord, we pray that the more and more that we hear Jesus and relate to him and learn from him, that he may show us this different system, this better system to work from. And Lord, we pray that we may be people who are living that out in our lives. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.